Here's my favorite part. Shalom, y'all.
Okay. I'm done. Okay. Well, I really like Texas, if you can tell. I've been coming to Texas for the last almost 10 years, like once or twice a year. So, you know, I live outside of Charlotte, but most of my friends are in Texas. Somehow, I don't know, we click or something. So maybe one day I'll move here. We'll see what happens. But anyhow, thank you for having me here today. And as we mentioned before, I want us to have a look together in Matthew chapter 1. And understand how powerful, what a powerful way the New Testament begins. You know, we may think, okay, genealogy, let's kind of skip that, but wait a second. This is how God decided that the New Testament is going to start. He knows what he's doing. He doesn't think it's boring. He thinks it's extremely important. And even more so, when sharing the gospel with Jewish people. Now, let me explain why. You know, Matthew wrote the gospel primarily to reach Jewish people. Why do I say that with confidence? Well, first of all, if we count the number of direct quotes from Matthew to the Old Testament, by far, more than any other of the gospels, and why is that significant? Well, what does anything in the Old Testament mean for, you know, back there, let's say in the first century or whatever, to people in China or I don't know where? I mean, they read, and they say the book of the genealogy of Yeshua, the Messiah, son of David. Who's David? They don't know who David is. I mean, who would know who David is? It's only the Jewish people, right? And then you read about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. So the number of quotes and also the proof of the messiahship of Yeshua is being used by Jewish names that would make sense only to Jewish people. Well, nowadays it would make sense to more as it spread, but originally he wrote it primarily, as logic tells us, to reach Jewish people. Now, let's see how it starts. It says, the book of the genealogy of Yeshua, you see Jesus Christ, Yeshua the Messiah. The first thing he says is the son of David. Why is that? Well, when you speak to Jewish people and you say son of David, it's just the same as if you would say the Messiah. We all knew back then and also today, even secular Jews, we all know the Messiah has to be the son of David. If he's not son of David, he's not the Messiah. So that's the first thing that Matthew wants to mention, led by the Holy Spirit, when he starts to write the first page of the New Testament. And then, after David, he's saying the son of Abraham. It's kind of in flip order because, you know, chronologically, obviously, Abraham was before David. But you see the significance of David. He puts him first, and only then he goes to Abraham. And then in verse 2, he starts to go by the chronological order of the genealogy of Jesus. And he starts by Abraham. He starts by Abraham, and then he goes to Isaac and Jacob. And I want us to spend a little bit of time this morning together going over those three people, the ancestors of Israel, the patriarchs of Israel, and understand that why it's so significant that Matthew is mentioning specifically them, and how is it related to you all? Because as we'll see, as we go back to the Old Testament, God always, from back then, had each and every one of you in mind. So let's see that together. And to start with Abraham, let's flip back to a couple of places, but let's start with Genesis chapter 12, if you will. So if you open Genesis chapter 12 with me, verse 1. It says here, Genesis 12, verse 1. Now, the Lord has said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. So let's even stop here for a second. He's calling him to go to a land that he will show him later, going by faith after God's calling, without knowing exactly where and what's going to happen. But then he's making promises to Abraham. And he's saying that he will make him, through him, a great nation. He said that he will bless him. God will bless Abraham, will make his name great. And then he says, and you shall be a blessing. So, as we can see, Abraham cannot be a blessing to anyone unless God first and foremost will bless him. So God chose, and we see that Matthew is already tying it together in Matthew chapter 1, that this has to do with Jesus, with Yeshua. He is the blessing. So God will bless Abraham in many ways, but we'll see what the center of the promise and the center of the blessing as we continue. But just like you and I, we cannot bless anyone else unless we are blessed. I cannot teach you if I don't know something. I cannot give you if I don't have it. God will have to be blessed by God in order to be a blessing to others, and that's what God is telling to Abraham. Then in verse 3, he's promising to Abraham, he's saying, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. God and Abraham are together right now. He's on his side. I mean, if someone is going to bless Abraham, God is going to bless him. If someone is going to curse Abraham, God is going to curse him. And that's still true today. And then it says, and in you, Abraham, in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Okay. So now there's something big here. It's not just that he's going to bless Abraham and through him, you know, people will be blessed. And not just that he's on his side for the good and the bad. I mean, in any case, whoever messes with Abraham messes with God. Whoever blesses Abraham, God will bless him. He says that somehow, through Abraham, in him, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And that's you. That's people all around the world will be blessed through Abraham. Okay, so we saw it over here. Let's see one more place in Genesis chapter 22. There's something similar that God promised Abraham over there, but it's not exactly the same, and I want us to see the difference. Genesis chapter 22, that's the story of the binding of Isaac, that Abraham was willing to sacrifice the son of the promise, believing that God will raise him from the dead, we read in the New Testament. And then, after he was willing to do that, and God stopped him, it says here in verse 15, Genesis 22 is verse 15, then the angel of the Lord called Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. Now note verse 18 and note the difference. In your seed all the nations of the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. He's saying in his seed all the nations of the earth will be blessed. In Genesis chapter 12, he says, in you. Here is more specific, and he's saying, in your seed. Now, what Matthew is doing is going over that seed, the seed of the promise, that and starting with Abraham, he's talking about that seed, that in him all the nations of the world will be blessed. Now, Paul, Shaul, you know, very well educated in the Old Testament, as you know, wrote about that something very interesting. And I want us to see that. It's in Galatians chapter 3. First thing, let's see quickly in verse 7. He says here in verse 7, Galatians 3 verse 7, it says, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham.
It says here that God preached the gospel to Abraham. Why? Because he's talking about what's going to happen through him, the seed of the promise. That's the gospel. That's what Matthew is following in Matthew chapter 1. That's the gospel, the seed of the promise. And he's saying, preach the gospel to Abraham before him, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. He's saying here, in you. That's from Genesis 12, like we said, like we just saw, in you. But then we go to verse 16, Galatians 3:16. That's another 3:16. Let's see the difference here, what he's referring to here. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one. He's saying, I know Hebrew, that's not plural, that's singular. He's talking about a seed, a very specific seed, the seed of the promise, as one, and to your seed who is Christ. So you see, in Galatians 3, he's talking about what God has said to Abraham in Genesis 12, in you, and what he's told him in Genesis 22, in your seed. And he's saying, this is singular, this is the Messiah. Now, if we stop here for a second, okay, just think about Abraham. The word blessing kept mentioned there, right? It says, I will bless you, you will be a blessing, whoever bless you, I will bless. I mean, it's about blessing, blessing, blessing. Okay, it's about the blessing. But now we understand who the blessing is. The blessing is Jesus. He preached the gospel about Jesus to Abraham. So, let's think about what he told Abraham. Whoever bless you, I will bless. Whoever curses you, I will curse. So if Jesus is the blessing, what would be the way to bless people or to bless the descendants of Abraham? And what would it mean to curse them? Hiding Jesus from them, not sharing Jesus from them, that's a curse. Sharing the blessing with them, sharing Jesus with them, that's the ultimate blessing. Yes, we can bless people in many different ways and never share the blessing of God, which is Jesus, with them. So to bless someone, first and foremost, or in whatever way we bless him, that need to be, I mean, Jesus needs to be a big part of that. We're doing that because of Jesus, and there are so many that bless Israel in so many ways without Jesus. Jesus is not mentioned. He's somewhere hidden. And that's not what we're called to do. We have to bless with the blessing himself, who is Jesus. So now, Matthew is saying, okay, Abraham begat Isaac. So let's see what God promised Isaac. That's going to look very familiar to you in just a minute. So let's go to Genesis chapter 26, a few chapters forward. We're at Genesis 22 before. We'll go to Isaac at Genesis chapter 26. And we can start to read in verse 2. Genesis 26, verse 2. It says, then the Lord appeared to him, that's Isaac, and said, do not go to Egypt. Live in the land which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you, for to you and your descendants I give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. You see, God promised something to Abraham, and he said the seed of the promise, it's going to be Isaac. So now he's approaching Isaac, and he's promising to Isaac the exact same thing that he promised to Abraham. This is what Matthew is following, Matthew chapter 1. Writing to people that are familiar with the book. By the age of 13, Jewish people should know the five books of Moses by heart. I mean, when you say Abraham, oh, you know exactly what God promised to Abraham. You say Isaac, they know the story. They know it by heart. They read it throughout the year, you know, weekly portions. They just read it and they memorize it. They know all that. And then verse 4, and I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed my voice. In your seed. You see, again, we see the seed of the promise, which we know by Galatians 3. We know this is Jesus. This is Yeshua. So God promised it to Abraham and then to Isaac, always having you in mind. You see, God chose Israel. They are his chosen people. but they're chosen people for a purpose. First of all, God loves them. God loves Israel. He calls Israel my firstborn son. When he sent Moses to Pharaoh, he said, you let my people go. This is Israel. It's my firstborn son. If you will not let him go, I will deal with your firstborn son, which he did in the 10th plague, and he died. God loves Israel. Israel is the firstborn. He looks at Israel as the firstborn son. There are a lot of parallels between Israel and Jesus. Jesus is the son of God. You know, he's the first. You know, he's the only begotten son. There are many parallels between Israel and Jesus. Jesus is the fulfillment of Israel, through which God's blessing will come to all the nations. So we saw it here about Isaac. Now, Isaac begot Jacob. Let's go to the story of Jacob. And somehow with Jacob, maybe just me, everything becomes even a little bit more exciting. And I think that you will see what I mean in a few minutes. So we just flip two more chapters forward to Genesis chapter 28. And let's see what is happening here. Now, a little background. You know, Jacob have a brother Esau, and he married women that his parents didn't really like. They weren't one of us. They're like foreign, and they really was like a big headache for his parents. And they said, okay, now we need to send you to get someone good, someone from our, you know, people. So you go to Haran, to the family of Sarah over there, and you will find a good wife. That was the purpose. So in verse 10, we start to read what happened on the way to find the wife. Now, why is it important? Well, clearly, in order for the seed of the promise to continue, Jacob needs a wife, right? So verse 10, it says here, now Jacob went out from Beersheba, it's still a city in Israel today, Beersheba, and went towards Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night, because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones that of that place and put it at his head. And he lay down in that place to sleep. So the day was over. He needed to stay. Didn't have like comfort inn or anything like that. He just took a stone and he put it as a pillow and he went to sleep with his head on that stone. And that's significant. You'll see why in a few minutes. Then verse 12. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. So what is happening here? He's going to sleep. He's dreaming. God is giving him a dream, and he's going to speak to him through that dream. And what he sees in that dream is a ladder. And the ladder, one end of it is on the ground here on earth, and the other end of the ladder reaches the heaven. That ladder connects heaven and earth. It's the connection between heaven and earth. This is what he's dreaming about, right? He's starting to have a revelation about that through that dream. And the angel of God ascending and descending on it. Verse 13, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. You see how organized God is when he speaks to Isaac. He says, I'm here to perform the oath which I gave to your father Abraham. Now he speaks to Jacob. He says, well, I am the father of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. So now I'm speaking to the third generation, Jacob. The land which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants, and your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south, and in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. The exact same promise. God is really serious about that. He's promising that to Abraham and then to Isaac and then to Jacob, the exact same words to each one of them. In you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. But remember with Abraham, no nation, no one can be blessed through Abraham unless God first will bless Abraham. Therefore, the gospel should have come to the Jew first. You know, we need to have it. We have to have Jesus in order to tell others about Jesus. So God chose Israel. Jesus will come through us. By that, that will be a blessing to Israel. And then we will be in a position so we can have the 12 Jewish disciples going and sharing the gospel with you all. That's the plan that we see here. And now let's continue to read. Verse 16. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." Jacob woke up and he was shocked. Yes, he knew about God. Of course, Abraham and Isaac, they told him about God. He wasn't the most honest person all the time, but he knew about God. But here, he had a huge revelation. And what? Let's look at his words, what he's saying. "Surely the Lord is here, on earth. Here, he's in this place." He never thought that God can be here on this, you know, on earth. God on earth? What is that? God, you know, God is everywhere. But God here on earth, he has a revelation. He said, "I did not know it." And I pray that each and every one of us will have a revelation today, something we did not know before, and draw us closer and deeper into the relationship that we have with Yeshua, with Jesus. A revelation from God. And then verse 17, "And he was afraid and said, 'How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. And this is the gate to heaven.'" He's saying, well, God is here. God can be on earth. Therefore, it must be the house of God here on earth. The house of God here on earth. And it's the gate to heaven. Verse 18. "Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head, set it up as a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Beth-El." Okay, what is Beth-El? Beth-El in Hebrew, Beth or Bait, it's a house. El is the short of Elohim, God. So because of his experience in his revelation about God, that God can dwell on earth, he called the name of the place, the house of God, Bethel. Now, a few things I want you to see the correlation. Remember I told you how the correlation between the Old and the New Testament. Well, let me just give you something ahead of time. Okay, everything here is about Jesus. Okay, and we're going to see that in a second. Everything that I just mentioned that was excited about, it's all about Jesus. Jacob is having a revelation about Jesus. We'll see it here in a second. But and see how beautiful the Old Testament stories right here that Matthew is mentioning in the first page of the New Testament is tied into things that we read in the New Testament about Yeshua, about Jesus. So, for example, we had the ladder, and then we said that he saw the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Let's go to John chapter 1 for a second. John chapter 1. By the way, we finished with the whole 28 chapters of Matthew online. And now we're starting the book of John. So we're actually already doing John 1, 2, and 3. So in John 1, for the sake of time, we're just going to jump to the very end. It says here, his conversation with Nathanael. He said, okay, verse 48, Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than this." And he said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon" what? Upon who? Upon a ladder? No, upon the Son of God. You see, it's a direct reference to what we just read in Genesis 28. It's not about a letter. The letter was just a shadow and a type of Yeshua. That he is Beth El. He is the God dwells in him on earth. John 1 in verse 15, and in the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh and dwell among us here on earth. He is the house of God. He is the dwelling place of God here on earth. When he came to us, when he came to the Jewish people first, as we read here in John chapter 1. So he is the Beth El. He is the ladder, the connection point between heaven and earth. He is the gate to heaven, as we read in John chapter 10. I am the door, right? He is the gate to heaven. Everything that Jacob... When God promised Jacob that through him and through his seed, all the families of the earth will be blessed, he was talking clearly about Jesus. And on the way, he's giving all those... how can we call it? Hints... And qualities and attributes of the Messiah, of who he is. He is God on earth. He is the connection to between heaven and earth. And he is the gate to heaven. One last thing, and we're done on time. I want us to see in Genesis chapter 28, something very significant also, that Jacob, I believe, had the revelation here. And therefore, he acted the way he did. It says that, remember, he was laying on that stone. Then he took that stone, made it as a pillar, right? It made it as a memorial over there when he called the name of the place Bethel. And what he did, he said in verse 18, then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head, set it up as a pillar, and poured oil on it. And only then he called the name of the place Bethel. Why is that so significant? Let me explain. You need to know one word in Hebrew to understand that. Okay, that stone, you know, we're familiar with many verses with stone, right? The stumbling stone, the stone the builders rejected. Jesus is talking about that in Matthew 21, you know, quoting from Psalms. The stone, why stone is so significant? Why is it coming back to us when we read the New Testament? Well, it's right here. In Hebrew, well, you know it from Romans. So when you call Abba, Father, what is Abba? In Hebrew, Av is Father, right? Well, Even is three words. It's A, B, N in English, okay? It's combining the Father and the Son. The Father and the Son are one. Av, the first two letters, is Abba, is Father. Ben is Son. Whoever receives the Son receives the Father. Whoever rejects the Son rejects the Father. You cannot have it. I mean, it's the Even. It's the stone. It's the unity. They're one. The Father and the Son are one, and this is the stone. This is the stone that the builders rejected. Well, they can understand Father. Jewish people can understand Father, but they reject the unity between the Father and the Son. They reject the stone, the Even, the Av and the Ben together. This is what has been rejected. This is what is still being rejected. But yet, this is something that we see right here. When Jacob had that revelation about how God can dwell on earth, this is the Son of God. This is Yeshua. This is the Messiah of Israel. He is it's the unity between heaven and earth. It's the connection point between heaven and earth. It's the gate to heaven. It's the Father and the Son together. But that's not all. Because in order for him to call that name of the place Beth El, who else is missing? So what does he? What do we see that he's doing? He's taking oil. And he's pouring on that stone. Trinity. Genesis chapter 28, right here, when God is promising Jacob that through him and through his seed, all the families of the earth will be blessed through Yeshua. So when Jewish people read Matthew chapter 1, and hopefully when we read Matthew chapter 1, it's not just genealogy. It's the power of God unto salvation. Pray that you receive that today and that you receive a fresh revelation about the urgency of living our lives to God and sharing the gospel with everyone around us, and yes, with an emphasis of sharing the gospel with Yeshua's own people in Israel. 15,000 out of 6 million are saved, and I pray that together we can reach more and more and more with the gospel. Thank you so much, and God bless.
Amen.